Chapter 11, Qualifying the Property. There are many different things that you can do to qualify the property that you are lending on, and we will go through them in the following pages. However, the two main things you want to know about a property are, what will the repairs cost, and what will it sell for in a short period of time after the repairs. Notice I said a short period of time. I don't want to know what the most the property can sell for. I want to know what a realtor can sell it for in 30 to 90 days. This number will probably be a lower number than the most they can sell it for, but I don't want my borrowers sitting on a house they cannot sell. Repair estimates. The first thing you will need to underwrite your loan are the repair estimates. Unless you are very comfortable with your borrower, then I would suggest they bring you several and talk to the contractors who gave each estimate. This will ensure none of them missed anything. If it is a pretty major rehab, say $10,000 or more, I would have your borrower use a licensed, bonded, and insured contractor. By doing this, if you have to foreclose and finish the rehab yourself, you know you can get the work completed without any additional money. I don't want my borrower using the most expensive contractor in town, but I also don't want them using the cheapest either. I want a contractor that will do a good job at a reasonable rate. You can check references on the contractor if you want. It is a good sign if the contractor has also worked for other investors that are doing fix and flips. Sometimes you will have borrowers who do the work themselves or have their own crews. I am not opposed to this as long as I can look at their history of successful projects and can look at some of their work. However, when you have an inexperienced investor and they want to do the work themselves, this would raise a red flag to me. Do they know what quality of materials to use in a specific price range of a house? I am also skeptical if I have a borrower that is used to rehabbing rental houses and they want to do a fix and flip. I have a conversation with them to make sure they understand that the quality of rehab is much better on a fix and flip than it is on a rental rehab. They also need to understand that when rehabbing a house to fix and flip, you need to make it a little nicer than the competition in the neighborhood. If the other houses have granite countertops, then you should put them in too. You should also have the borrower budget some money for landscaping. They should put a nicer front door on the house than is on the other houses in the neighborhood. This all adds to curb appeal of the property. After all, when selling houses, you have to get them in the front door before they will want to buy it. Comparable market analysis. A comparable market analysis, or CMA, is done by a realtor. In my opinion, it is more important than an appraisal for the purpose of lending hard money, and here's why. I am more concerned about getting my money back when the borrower sells the house than what the house will appraise for. The CMA will be a more accurate number of what the house will sell for than the appraisal. Besides, realtors who are in the trenches all day buying and selling houses for others are more likely to know how long it will take to sell and at what price it should sell for. They see buyers and sellers every day and know what they are looking for and what keeps them from buying a particular house. This is why we want a good realtor on our team when analyzing a property, as previously mentioned. This doesn't mean we do not get appraisals or put any value in them. Appraisals tell much more than the value of a property, as we have already discussed. Appraisals. Appraisals are done by a local licensed appraiser. Now, once we know how much it will cost to get the home repaired, we must find out what it will be worth after the repairs are made. We will be getting what's called an appraisal based on the after repaired value, or ARV, or sometimes called a subject to appraisal. This just means that the appraisal is done as if the work has already been complete. So here's how it will work. The appraiser receives a copy of the rehab estimate done by the contractor from us. Once they receive the estimate, they appraise the house and state what the value should be after the work on the estimate has been completed. You want to find an appraiser that is familiar with investment property. You also want to use one that is fairly conservative. You don't need an appraiser fluffing up the value of the property so you can lend more money on it, only to get stuck in the property when your borrower's buyer's appraisal comes in much lower than yours. Then you and your borrower are stuck with a house that was overfinanced. I am putting an appraisal document in your forms disk so you can look it over and be aware of everything it includes so you will know how to review it when you receive one from an appraiser. Quick and easy appraisal review. I want to also share with you a quick and easy method when looking at an appraisal to determine whether or not the property buyer's lender or underwriter will have a problem with the appraisal. I learned this from an appraisal class. Here's what you do. When you get an appraisal on a property you are lending on, I want you to look at all of the pictures in it. Look at the subject property and all of the comps and comparable sales. Then pick out the house you would least want to live in. And if there's a noticeable difference, and it is your house, then the underwriter will definitely have a problem with the appraisal. After all, the definition of a comp is a comparable sale with the least amount of adjustments. Not many people know this, and now you will know what the lender's underwriter for the end buyer is looking for. Now remember, this is just a quick method and is by no means a definite way to tell if you have a good appraisal. Quality control checklist. There are many things that the underwriters look for, such as the gross and net adjustments. Because of this, I have also included in this section a form we use in our business to check out each appraisal when it comes in. I have placed it on the following page for you. Feel free to make copies and use it on every appraisal when you get it to help you determine if you have a good appraisal or not. It is on the forms disk as well. This appraisal quality control checklist will help you to see what every lender will be looking for so you will know when you have a good appraisal or not. Don't worry if you do not understand all of these terms in the checklist. As you become more familiar with the whole process, it will come together for you. Other appraisal sources. Now I know there are free and paid online services to give you comps, and those are great for your preliminary due diligence. But before we lend on this property, we want to know the true value based on an appraisal and a CMA. As previously mentioned, I put more weight on the CMA rather than an ARV appraisal. Some of the free online comp sources are Zillow.com, Trulia.com, Hotpads.com. Some of the paid services include RealList.com, CoreLogic.com. RealList and CoreLogic are both owned by the same company. We subscribe to them in order to get some good valuations in our lending business and in our real estate business. Code violations. When lending on a property, you want to make sure that you know of any impending code violations on the property. You do not want to make a loan on a property that is scheduled for demolition by the city next week. You should contact the local building inspection department or code enforcement department to make sure that there are no code violations on the subject property, and if there are, you need to get a list. If there are, and once you have the list, you should make sure that any repairs on the list are included in your rehab estimates. This way, you will know that the violations can be cured from the rehab funds. You also want to make sure that the city will give your borrower sufficient time to complete the repairs, as code violations usually have a deadline that they must be completed by. This doesn't mean that the city will not give extensions. As long as they see progress, they are usually pretty good about allowing extensions to complete the repairs. We had a loan go all the way to the day prior to closing when the title searcher found code violations that were requiring the house be torn down in less than 30 days. It is really simple to get on the website of any city's code enforcement page and see if the address is listed. It is also a great way to find properties at deep discounts. If they do not have a website, you will have to call the building inspection department and ask them about the subject property. As mentioned, in many cases, If you talk with the department, they will extend your time to remedy the violations and even remove it once it is corrected. I have been involved in many deals that had code violations, and in only one case was it too late to keep it from being knocked down, and it really should have been anyway. Neighborhood. It is important to be aware of the area that the property is located in and how it relates to your specific location. What I am talking about is this. For example, in Charlotte, NC, MSA, or Metropolitan Statistical Area, it would be unusual for a nice $150,000 house to be next door to a double-wide mobile home. Most buyers would not think of buying that house because of the house next door. However, in the mountains of North Carolina, that is very common. This is because there have not been as many zoning laws and regulation, and anyone that owns land could build a nice home on it. Then they may decide to help their son or daughter buy a double wide and put it on the lot next door. This is very common when a family owns a larger property that may consist of multiple acres. All I am saying is you need to know the things that will hurt your borrower when they try to sell the property and the things that will not hurt them. You can learn a lot of it from this course. However, some things will just come with experience. Asking a local realtor questions will also help. Neighborhood crime. Here is a great idea to find out information about a property and the neighborhood. Any property you are thinking about buying or financing, you want to call the local police department on a non-emergency line. Then you ask them if you can get a police report for all of the crime activity in the neighborhood where the property is located. Some will have a website where you can get the information, and some will have to mail, fax, or email it to you. This will give you a good idea if this is the kind of neighborhood that your retail buyers want to live in. Websites to check neighborhood crime. There are many websites that you can go to and find out information about crime in the area. Here are the ones that I like. spotcrime.com, crimereports.com, neighborhoodscout.com, zipskinny.com. Schools. Another way to help you determine if you want to make a loan on a property is to find out the schools that people want their children to go to and the ones they do not. Make sure your house is in the one that they do want to live in. You can get this information by asking your realtor and doing some online research. www.zillow.com/local-info will give you some good information. Property prices. You can make a loan on any priced property that you want. However, I would suggest that you stay in the median price range in the area for making loans. If you make loans on luxury houses, then you are limited to the amount of buyers that can buy the property from your borrower. On the other hand, if you make a loan on a low-priced property, people who have good credit and can go to the bank and get a loan and buy a house want a pretty nice house and may overlook the low-priced fix and flip. If you do some research for your area and find out what the median price of a home is, and if you stay in that range, you will have better success with your borrower selling their house once they make the necessary repairs. Luxury homes. If you do decide to make loans on luxury homes, please be careful. I have seen luxury houses that had multiple appraisals, and the appraisals varied by $200,000 to $300,000 in value. When lending on a luxury home, you have to be aware of this and make sure you either get multiple appraisals, multiple CMAs, or lower your loan-to-value, LTV, or a combination of all three. Home inspections. You can require your borrower to get a home inspection if you want. And in fact, if the property is a very old property or needs a lot of work, I would recommend that you do get a home inspection. Or should I say, I would have the borrower pay for one as a part of your underwriting requirements. A home inspection will reveal any defects that may be in the property, such as foundation or other structural problems that can cost a lot of money. They also reveal any safety issues that may not be noticed by a rehab contractor giving an estimate. A safety hazard may be faulty wiring or a broken walkway that would be a trip hazard. A home inspection will cost somewhere between $100 and $200, based on the area the property is in, but it is well worth it, especially if you are a new lender and the property needs a lot of work. Unique properties. Be careful and steer away from lending on unique properties. I am talking about a property that would take a special person to want to live in. You want to lend on properties that there would be a lot of buyers for. For example, I would never lend on a single-wide mobile home that has been added on to over the years by the owners. I would never lend on a round house or octagon-shaped house. I would also never lend on a house that was very small. In fact, most traditional lenders have a minimum square footage of 750 to 850 square feet that they require to make a loan. Another type of property I would not lend on would be a mixed-use property that was not common for the area. For example, a property that used to be a small general store but was converted to a residential property. The bottom line here is to make sure you only lend on properties that there are a lot of buyers for so your borrower can sell it easily and pay you off. Historic houses. I am not opposed to lending on a historic house as long as I know what the city requires to make the necessary repairs. Most historic houses are in downtown areas and they have strict guidelines as to what they require when rehabbing a property. Make sure you contact the city building department and know what you are dealing with before making the loan. Once you find out what they require, make sure your borrower's contractor knows as well. They need to make sure their estimate includes conforming to the materials and workmanship required to satisfy the city officials. It is also a good idea, when lending on a historic house, to make sure your borrower either has experience doing these kind of rehabs or they are using a contractor that has. I also would not rely on the borrower or contractor telling you what the city does and doesn't require. I would verify it for myself. Chain of title. Know the chain of title and be concerned if the house has been moved from owner to owner several times in a short period of time. If a property is changing owners 2 to 3 times in a 12-month period, then there may be something really wrong with the house, or it could be an investor trying to raise the value of the neighborhood by trying to make it appear there were valid sales. Who really cares? The end buyer's lender is the one who will care the most and may refuse to do the loan because of it. Bottom line. The bottom line is that you want to make loans that will return your principal first. That is more important than making the loan in the first place. Only make loans that you feel comfortable with. If you have a borrower that is in a big hurry for some reason, then you should be careful. Get references and check him out. This is a good lesson in making sure you know the difference between making a loan and buying a property from a motivated seller. If a potential borrower already owns a property and they want you to make them a loan, they may just be coming to you because they couldn't sell the property. I've heard of lenders making loans like this and the borrower never made the first payment or started the work. In the borrower's mind, they simply sold the house and were done. Anytime you make a loan, you need to ask yourself this question: would I be happy buying this property for the amount I'm making the loan for? Another tip I would recommend is staying local in your lending. If you go out of town or out of state and are not familiar with the market, then you could find yourself lending too much on a house or making a loan you would normally not make. So if you do make loans outside of your area, make sure you use the techniques described in this program to ensure you know the borrower, property, and neighborhood as well. As a final comment on qualifying the person and the property, remember this: sometimes the best loan you will ever make is the one you said no to. In other words, don't be afraid to say no. It could be the best decision you ever made in your lending business.